Right. There we go. All right. Hey, I'm Pastor Theo. Privilege of serving here as family pastor. Just a couple of additions to those announcements. For the budget meeting after church today, if you have children, kindergarten, preschool, younger, you can go ahead and leave them in the nursery. We'll have some child care available during the budget conversation. And I was just told before I walked in here that our QR code is up for the registration for VBS. So our QR code is up for VBS. That means we can start registering our kids for VBS. Thank you. So there's a QR code up on the bulletin board. This week we will have links sent out, and that will be available for everybody. So that happened just before I walked in this morning. Another thing that we are doing this morning is we are going to welcome another new member. So Ingrid Royal, would you please join me on stage? Yeah, so we've just really been blessed recently here in church, you know, and at the end of March we welcomed 4 or 5 people. 2 weeks ago we welcomed in Addie, who couldn't be with us, and then we have Ingrid, who couldn't be with us those days either. And so Ingrid. Yes. There we go. Ingrid. So I shouldn't say Ingrid.
No.
Ingrid.
Ingrid. Yes.
Ingrid. There we go. I'll work on it. All right. Now that I have been educated thoroughly, okay? Just a few membership questions. We're going to ask all these. Is that okay?
Okay.
There we go. Hopefully you answer I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and promise to follow him as Lord?
Yes.
Do you accept the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, as the Word of God and the only perfect for faith, doctrine, and conduct?
Yes.
Do you intend to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word, to share in the Lord's Supper, to practice and proclaim the good news of God in order, in word and deed?
Yes.
And lastly, do you promise to support the ministries of the church, the East Coast Conference, our denomination to which we belong, the Evangelical Covenant Church?
Yes.
I love the enthusiasm. So members, it's up to you now. Hopefully you match the enthusiasm. Do you receive Ingrid Royal into Royal?
Yes.
There we go. Do you receive Ingrid Royal into our fellowship and to our care here at Trinity, praying for her as you encourage, serve, and love her? If so, say we do.
Yeah.
There we go. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing Ingrid to us today, and just in this season of our church, we pray that this would be a time where we minister faithfully to her and where she is able to in turn use her gifts to minister to others. We thank you for the call that we have in the body of Christ to serve and to love and to worship you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this commitment, and thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, Cassie.
She's the one who brought me to this church because I have never heard of this church.
Yeah? Thank you, Cassie. So we have a cross
thank
to give you and certificate of membership.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That thing's falling apart. All right, also today happens to be Confirmation Sunday. This is a special day, so let me get prepared for that. As I said, today is a special day. It's a special day here in the life of student ministry here at Trinity Covenant Church. Today we want to honor our students who have completed the last 2 years of our confirmation program. Actually, one student completed 1 year a year prior. So we're glad to have her join us today. This year's emphasis was on the Old Testament, as we summarized the majority of the Old Testament books. But as I was thinking on that, we shortchanged the prophets. But isn't that how it's usually done? Like, we have to all admit, we don't spend enough time in the prophets. But we did summarize the majority of the Old Testament books and how it applies to a personal relationship with God today. We focused on how the Bible was contextually not written to us, but it was written for us. We also focused on how the entire Old Testament points to the need for a Savior, which we know came to us in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So, congregation, would you join me in this responsive reading taken from the Covenant Book of Worship? Do you believe in God? What does this mean? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? What does this mean? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? What does this mean? This year we have two confirmation graduates, also known as confirmands, and other sisters, Lena and Lucy Lane. Would you please come join me up on stage? Come stand right here in the middle. And who won between paper, rock, scissors? You won, so Lucy's going first. All right, Lucy, would you come read your speech? Right into the mic. And now Lena. I commend you on that, because I can guarantee there's a lot of people out there right now who would not want to get up and read. So good job. Yes. At this point in time, I'll take your papers from you. I'm going to start giving you a few things. What I'd like you to do is actually come out here towards the front, and then I'd like you to kneel, if you'd like a hand getting down. There we go, you're good. I'm going to read a scripture passage and share elements to remind you of your call as followers of Christ. And for those of you who have been following Christ just a few days or decades and decades, this refers to you as well. Lena and Lucy, I want to remind you of Matthew 5, verse 13, with salt. Kindry is going to give you just a little dab of salt, and I want you to press it on your tongue. Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. The next element is fire. Lena and Lucy and the congregation watching in. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. At this point in time, I would like to invite family and significant friends and church leaders, if you'd come forward and surround Lena and Lucy. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you not just for 2 years of completed study, not just for the ability to complete a homework assignment that Pastor Theo gave, but Father God, we thank you for these two lives, these two souls who are on their journey with you, who are seeking after you, who are learning and discerning how it is to have a relationship with you in this ever-changing, chaotic world. We thank you for these two souls. We thank you for their parents, and we thank you for their knowledge of scriptures and their ability to think critically about the scriptures. And we pray, Father God, that this would just be the beginning of a lifelong journey of faith. That they would take the skills and the tools and all those different things that we learned and used this year, Father God, and they would continue to be discerning in how they read the scriptures, to know that it was written to another context thousands of years ago in another culture, but then to say after reading that, how can I apply this to my life? So, Father God, we thank you for these two. We know that you love them so much more than the collective love even in this room for them. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help grow them, sustain them, and that they would be mighty women of faith, as I see that they so very well could be. So once again, Father God, we thank you for these two, and may you continue to work in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stay there for just a second. Actually, you may want to blow out your candle. If you want a hand standing up, you want me to hold that for a second? There we go. I'll give that back to you. Lucy. Lena. Lucy. Lena. You two can go sit down. Everyone else is going to stay, though. So Bill and Michelle, will you step forward? And everyone else, let's surround Bill and Michelle and pray for them. And Lincoln. Father God, we thank you for this family. I thank you personally just for how welcoming and supportive they've been as my family has transitioned here. Father God, I thank you for them. Thank you for their hospitality and their servanthood, all those different things. Father God, I thank you for how they have been so diligent in raising their children. And Father God, I pray that you would continue to strengthen them as they step into this new time frame of life with a sophomore and an eighth grader and an elementary student. And as their kids continue to grow and they step into what it looks like to parent an older high school student and another younger high school, like all these different changes, Father God, continue to give them wisdom for how to parent in a godly manner, to pass on their faith, and to help raise godly women and a young man. So we thank you for their lives and continue to uphold them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. It's always a special day. One of my favorite pastors, one of my favorite authors, is a pastor in California. His name is Dan Kimball. Confirmation students the past years have been assigned to read one of his books. The next slide shows one of his books. There we go. They Like Jesus But Not the Church, which I'll talk about in a second, but confirmation students have read From How Not to Read the Bible. It's a really great book. I highly recommend it. I saw Dan Kimball once when I was at a restaurant, and I was kind of in the lobby area with all of my friends, and I saw him there, and I'm just like, I start kind of like fanboying, which I don't actually do, but my kids say that I do. And so I saw him over there, and finally my friends were like, you have to go say hi. So I start to like, you know, walk up, and about that time, though, the house band started playing. So here I am standing here, and the house band is like right there, and he's just looking at me like, you want to talk to me? So here I am, I start shouting at this person that I've long admired, I love your books! Not my best moment, but I got the picture. That's what matters, right? I discovered Dan Kimball, though, when I was in my very first church of call, a very conservative church. And Dan Kimball, just from his very looks, he's a fan of 1950s rockabilly music. He has blonde, bleached hair combed straight up. And in this book, They Like Jesus But Not the Church, he shares how he has befriended people from all sorts of different demographics, orientations, and religions. So he wrote this book and then later put out a teaching curriculum based on video-based, and it's all about his interactions with all of these people who love Jesus, but not the church. In the very first session, the testimonials that were shared about Jesus, people said that his teachings were very inspirational. I love Jesus, his teachings and his beliefs were pure. He was the first historical figure who did not treat women as unclean second-class citizens. Of all the people that he interviewed, they love Jesus and everything that Jesus represents and has taught. But when then he asked the exact same people, what do you think about the church? What do you think about Christians and Christianity? The very same people who said how much they loved Jesus began to talk about how much they didn't like the church and Christians and Christianity. And they said things along the line that they were restrictive, power-seeking, dogmatic, closed-minded individuals. But then on a closer inspection, most of them admitted that they actually didn't know too many Christians who reminded them of Jesus. Can we admit that it's a problem when Christians aren't known for being like Jesus? In the 1960s, a Catholic parish priest was looking for an ecumenical interracial song for his youth choir. When he couldn't find one, well, he's resourceful, and he wrote one. His song is the hymn we know as They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll, if you know it, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather be known for being a loving person than being dogmatic or power-seeking, right? And that is the call on your life. Whether you have just graduated from confirmation class, whether you are a first-year confirmation student and you're going to be up here next year, whether you're about to be a confirmation student, or if you have been following Jesus for 50, 60, 70 years, that is the call. The call we have as present-day disciples is to love one another. In John 13, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. It's the scene that we know is right before the Last Supper. He's washed their feet. Jesus has shared that he's going to be betrayed. And then right before the passage where he has that conversation with Peter, like, Peter, I know that you're kind of like a fan of mine, but you're going to betray me too. Right before Jesus has that conversation with Peter, he says this, John 13, starting in verse 33. Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer, and as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Will you pray with me? Father God, once again, we just thank you for these lives, these young lives that we confirmed here today. We thank you for their faith. But Lord, as we look at the call of disciples, for those of us who have recently confirmed, recently come to faith, or those who have been in faith for decades, Father God, may the world know we are your disciples by our love. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now see, here in John 13, Jesus didn't surprise his disciples with some kind of bait and switch. Not only will the world know the disciples for their love, but the past 3 years have been this crash course for them to learn how to love each other. Have you ever done some kind of study and considered just how crazy the group of disciples actually were? You watch most Jesus shows or movies, and they show almost all of the disciples as like hardened, weary fishermen, right? Like old guys who are ready to retire. The truth of the matter is that only Peter was old enough to pay the temple tax, which means Jesus was a youth pastor. It's no wonder his ministry lasted 3 years. Just kidding, I love y'all. The dynamics of this group, which in many ways it feels handpicked by Jesus, but the dynamics of this group could not be any more headache-inducing if Jesus had tried. You have Peter, the oldest disciple, like, hey, you're supposed to be like my helper, dude. You're the influence, be the good influence. He was so impulsive, and he said the dumbest things at the dumbest times. You can laugh. James and John were known as sons of thunder, meaning they were bold, aggressive, and maybe even quick-tempered, angry people. Philip was slow-thinking and overly analytical. Nathaniel was certainly biased and prejudiced, definitely not a fan of Backwaters Nazareth, nor the people that came from Nazareth. I wonder how long it took for him to finally submit to Jesus as not being just a redneck from Nazareth. Thomas is famous for doubting Jesus, but also he was known as Didymus, or twin. And twins were considered bad omens back then. In fact, as the disciples traveled, I'm sure there were multiple times they were pulled aside and be like, what's that guy doing with you? And if you think that only the Church of America in 2025 deals with politics and strife, well, let me just tell you, Matthew was a Jewish tax collector for the Romans. And oh, there's this other guy, Simon, who was a zealot, which was an overly political and anti-Roman group. Could you imagine the conversations that those two had? How many times did Jesus, as they're just walking from place to place, just kind of look back and be like, guys, give it up? You put those 12 together, what a group. And you see, Jesus was actually not the only itinerant traveling rabbi back in the day. There was multiple traveling rabbis who had their group of disciples. And for these traveling rabbis with their disciples, these disciples were called Talmudim. And there's a quote that the Talmudim would follow their master so closely in everything that they did that they would actually be covered in their dust that the rabbi would kick up. To be a disciple of Jesus meant that you would follow him so closely that you'd be covered in the dust that he would kick up. To mimic him, to imitate him, to turn yourself into a clone of his. I coached some high school basketball, and when a defender was kind of slacking off, I would say, get in their face, get so close that the next time out, you tell me what they had for dinner. I want you to be that close in defending them. As a Talmudim, it's the same idea. You are so close to your master that you are covered in their dust. And Jesus did this with 12 really, really different people. I mean, it's obvious Jesus had some kind of advantage, like being the Son of God, because I don't know who else would have that much patience for such a dysfunctional and different kind of group. With that in mind, he says here in John 13, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And just as that was the call on Jesus' disciples in 33 AD, it's the call of everyone who follows him closely today in 2025, to follow him so closely, to mimic him, to look like him, to represent him to the world. It's as if we're covered in his dust. And that's what struck me so tragic to the opening, to they like Jesus but not the church. How would those people's lives and testimonies have been different if they had known just a couple more people who reminded them of Jesus? I'm sure their stories would be different. One more or two more people who just mimicked Jesus and walked in the way of Jesus and loved like Jesus. Thomas Merton has this famous quote, our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. Each person we encounter was created in the image of God, and they bear the imago Dei within. Another quote that you find all over social media and the internet, and it's hard to find the source to attribute, but it says, you will never look into the eyes of someone that is not loved by God. We are called to love everyone. Followers of Jesus are called to love others. And that is what the world needs. Last weekend, I officiated a wedding out in San Diego. Tough. It was an outdoor wedding. It was actually on the cliffside, overlooking the ocean below. It was difficult. I got a sunburn. I know, oh, there we go. And in my little ceremony there on the cliffside underneath the San Diego sun, I read from 1 Corinthians 13, which we famously know as the love chapter, right? But after reading it once, I told the bride and groom that I was going to read it again. But the second time that I read through, I wanted them to replace the word love with their own name. That sounds great and cute for a wedding ceremony, right? But this was written by Paul. Now, the deal is Paul was often misunderstood or misinterpreted to often be actually misogynistic, and I actually don't think he was. I think he was actually kind of ahead of things for his day. But I can guarantee you that Paul did not write 1 Corinthians 13 with wedding ceremonies in mind, okay? 1 Corinthians 12 talks all about the use of your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about like tongues and like loving and serving one another in the worship service. And right in the middle of that is 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is a call for how we're all to live our lives as followers and disciples of Christ. Not just to be quoted in a wedding ceremony, though it is a nice passage for wedding ceremonies, but 1 Corinthians 13 is a call on all of our lives for how to live and how to look like Jesus. So as I asked the bride and groom last week, I'm going to ask you to do this with me now. Replace your name every time with the word, I'll read love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not prideful. Love is not rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. Love serves. Love forgives instead of keeping track of offenses. Love rejoices in truth. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. Is that you? See, I'll admit, it's tough. Loving others can be tough. That's why Jesus said in John 13, just as I've loved you, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So how do we grow as loving people? See, sometimes I think we often don't quite grasp how much God loves us. You know what I'm saying? When I think of the most merciful people I know, one of the things that they talk about is just how much mercy they know they've received. They know they don't deserve it, but they know that God has been merciful to them. And so they, in turn, are the most merciful to others. And I think it's the same idea. When we start to grasp and understand just how much God loves us, we can't help but love one another. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. Are you having trouble loving others? Spend some time meditating, reading scripture about how much God loves you. And secondly, let's revisit that quote by Thomas Merton. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. With my high school group on Sunday nights, we're going through a series currently called Dealing with Difficult People. Tonight we're focusing biblically on how to deal with people who are whiners in our lives. And 2 weeks ago we talked about how to deal with those people in our lives who intentionally or unintentionally exasperate us. In fact, it's fun doing a study of how many times Jesus, there's this one passage, Mark, I think it's 8, he says he deeply sighs and groans in his spirit. And talking about the Pharisees, they were exasperating Jesus. But the one thing I included 2 weeks ago, and I will include every time we have one of these dealing with difficult people Bible studies, it's easy to forget that we exasperate someone else. Not me. It's so easy to think about all those other people who exasperate us and drive us crazy. But it's really important to remember that, I exasperate somebody myself. And so in talking about love, we have to humbly admit that we are that hard-to-love person for somebody else, too. I think sometimes when we have a sense of self-awareness and realize that, you mean not everybody loves me? Then we can realize, I need to love others just as I want others to love me. Jesus said, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This is a message not just for recent Confirmand grads, but everyone who claims to be a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. I heard on the radio this week that the largest religious demographic in America is not Protestants or Catholics. According to this source on the radio, the largest demographic are the nuns. Not the N-U-N-S's who will work under the direction of Pope Leo, but N-O-N-E-S. 28% of American adults claim to be nuns. No religious affiliation whatsoever. In fact, for Gen Z and Gen Zers, those born between 1997 and 2012, over 50% are atheists, agnostic, or nuns. For a generation of 15, 16-year span, over 50% are atheists, agnostic, or nuns. That should wake us up. This world needs love. So instead of just talking about Jesus or my church or how others are infringing even on me, let's look like Jesus and love others. That was the call of the disciples who literally followed Jesus back in the day. And it's the call on our lives for those who follow Jesus today. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we are so undeserving of your love, yet Jesus came and died on the cross for us. Father God, I pray that you would bring to our minds ways that we could love others better. I pray that you would bring to our mind ways that we need to look more like you, especially to a world that is dying. Once again, we thank you for our confirmands, but we also thank you for people who have been following you for decades. And may all of us here in this room seriously take up the call to love others so that the world would see you as the call of your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.